All right. All right, gentlemen. All right, praise God. This sounds really loud. So I'm going to, you can turn down. All right. Excuse us, everybody. We are live right now with Skeleton Crew is in the sound room. Smith showed up, and he's kind of bouncing back and forth between the sound room and the video booth. So I have a couple of announcements that I want to make before I get into the message this morning. I hope you all are nice and safe and warm and tuned in. Children's Church nursery schedules are available for pick, and the Children's Church schedule is also on the website right now. So let you know about mark your calendars. Friday, March 9th, we have Ren and Lydia J. Canette are going to be with us and their family. They right now, I believe, are in Mongolia. We have taken them on in missions given, and so about having them with us. He's going to be sharing what they came across in Mongolia, and they're for Mongolia, and he's going to preach as well. So I'm really excited about that. So you have calendars on that. It's a Sunday morning, March 9th. We still need help, hospitality. We could use some help in a video booth in the sunroom for people to learn. We have people coverage every Sunday. With that, you get your bulletin, it is online. Okay. Erin Layton had texted me this morning. Erin, I think, watching online. She has a family member who is a child of snowmobiling with his dad in Maine. And he got into a severe damage to his foot and arteries in his foot. And she's asking for prayer that his foot will come back to life. He's in Boston Hospital right now, and his name is Dominic. So we're just take a moment right now and pray for Dominic. Father, we do bless you and we praise you. We thank you, Lord God, that where two or more are gathered together, you are right in our midst. And gathered together, three of us here at the church, many online. And Lord, just ask now that you know about this boy, Dominic, and his father. I don't know whether his father's oaked from the accident. I just know about his son, Dominic. So, Lord, we ask, Father, that whatever's going on with Dominic and his foot, the damage to his foot, that you would bring full healing to him. And I thank you for that, Lord Jesus. Father, you are the God of the flesh. You are the great physician. And you said in your word to suffer not the little children to come to you, which is the kingdom of heaven. So, Lord, lift him up to you right now. And his father, Lord, and his family, Lord God, and Aaron, Lord, that you would give them peace in their hearts, knowing that Dominic is in your hands. Lord, if that family doesn't know you, I pray, Father, that you will show yourself strong to them, show them how much you love them. And I thank you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We also have a person Sundays ago came to me after the church, and she wants to be water baptized. So we're going to be having another water baptism service. I think that's really cool. We'll pool tank for one person, but I'd love to see more. So if you have not been water baptized yet, then please let me know. We haven't come up with a date yet, but it's going to be probably in weeks. If we can get these snowstorms to stop hitting us on Sunday. You know, so we're going to be doing that. So if you have not been water baptized, I highly suggest that you would prayerfully consider that. Jesus himself was water baptized, and I always say, if it's good enough for him, it's got to be good enough for us. He's the one that set the example. So if you haven't, then please let me know. I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to get into the Word of God this morning. We're going to be in Galatians chapter 5, beginning chapter 5, verses 1 through 15 this morning. Father, we do praise you for your Word. And I ask that for each and every one of us, Lord, that you will speak to our hearts this morning. Father, that you will show us in your word the message that you have for us today. Your word is timeless. And Lord, this was written 2 centuries ago. But it is just as valuable and pertinent to us today as it was written. Lord, I ask that you would make your word clear. Lord, I present to you myself. Lord, I can't do this without. I can't preach your word without your anointing, not in any effect. So, Lord, may your anointing be strong and speak, Lord, through me, cracking vessel. but I'm in your hands. In Jesus' name. Anoint our ears, Lord, to hear what you have for each and every one of us today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Galatians chapter 5. And I have to say, this is really weird. That I'm here, I've got my wife is here, Doug is here, and nobody else is here. I'm preaching to an almost empty room, but yet I know it's not empty because your hearts are with me and with us, and you're watching online. So Galatians chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ profit you nothing. And I testify against a man who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law. You have become estranged from Christ, you who attempt to be justified by law. You have fallen from grace. For we, through the Spirit, eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus, circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. You ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? Persuasion does not come from who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. I have confidence in you in the Lord that you will have no other mind, but he who troubles you shall bear his judgment, whoever he is. And I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why do I still suffer persecution? Then the offense of the cross is ceased. I could wish that those who trouble you would even cut themselves off. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all law is fulfilled in one word, even you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite, devour one another, bear lest you be consumed by one another. Hallelujah. And Doug, if you can check on your phone to see if the sound's coming through, okay? You're already doing it. Okay, thank you. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. That word stand fast is an important word. It means to stay and to not move away from. The same word is used in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 13, if you want to go there with Ephesians chapter 6. Verses 10 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, in the Lord, power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the devil, the walls of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand an evil day, and having done all, to stand. Paul is saying here in Ephesians, to the Ephesian church, to finally strong in the Lord, to be stand in the Lord, and stand in the power of God and of the Holy Spirit. And it's the same idea right here in Galatians chapter 5, to stand fast, therefore, in liberty by which Christ has made us free. To stand fast, not to move from it. To stay rooted in it. You know, that was the whole point of this letter to the Galatian church, was how they're drifting away into legalism, drifting into the law. And Paul is saying, you don't do that. Stay, stand fast. Stay rooted in the liberty that Christ has given us, that has set us free. And do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. What he's saying here, entangled, is to be woven together with a yoke of bondage. And that yoke of bondage came from the law. We went through all of this last week. We were talking about Mount Sinai and Hagar and Isaac and how Hagar and her son, they represented the two covenants, one of bondage and which one do you want, bondage? Do you want freedom? I want freedom. I'm sure you want freedom. That's the whole point of what Paul's saying here, to stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ is free. And don't be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Stop going back to that. Stop going back to it. Verse 2, indeed, I, Paul, saying to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. If you're going to try and, that's what these are doing, is they're dabbling in the law, but still wanting to be in grace. Dabbling in the law, but you're drifting back towards grace. And that's how it says, stand fast in the liberty, stand for the grace. Don't keep going back and forth. Because if you want to go into the law, then Christ will fit you nothing. That word profit means, the Greek word is ophaleo, and it means to benefit from. So indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will not benefit you at all. Because you're resting in the law and you're not resting in grace. You see, Paul said to the Ephesian church, by grace you are saved, not of works, lest you should boast. Let's go on. And if I testify again, verse 3, I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised, that he is a debtor to keep the law. You're a debtor to keep the law. And that word debtor that's used here in the Greek means obligated. That when you test, he says, I testify to every man who becomes circumcised, he is obligated to keep the whole. If you're going to go with one part of the law, you have to keep it all. I said last week, I think it was last week, did you know that you actually could get to heaven by the law? But in order to get to heaven by the law, that means you have to keep the whole law. And there's not one of us that we cannot keep the whole law. You violate one part, the scripture says you violated all of it. That's why we need Jesus. That's why we are saved. That's why we need his grace. Because it is by his grace that we are saved. What is grace? Grace is looking you, cleansing you from the sin of your life that happened because of violating the law. You have been, verse 4, you have become estranged from Christ, you who attempt to justify by law. You have fallen from grace. That's a really strong word. You have become estranged from Christ. Now, what is Paul saying here when he used that word estranged? You know, that's a very powerful word. It's used often to husband and wife separate. When they separate, they're known as being, but divorced, they're separated but divorced, they're estranged. They're not together anymore. Although covenant still exists, they're not dwelling within that covenant. And that's what he's saying here. You have become estranged from me. You're not walking in the covenant that Jesus Christ cut for you and cut for me on the cross back in Calvary back over 2,000 years ago. You're estranged from Christ. You still belong to him. You're still in covenant with him, but you're estranged from him. You've walked away from him. You who attempt, he says, have become estranged from Christ, you who attempt to be justified by law. You attempt justified by the law, you have fallen from grace. Very, very clear. Justified, the word justified that's used here is dino, and it means righteousness brought by. So if you're tempted to be righteous before God that's brought out by the law, then that means you have fallen from grace. And again, in Ephesians, Paul was clear that it is by grace you are saved, not of works, lest any man should boast. Turn with me to Romans chapter 3. In Romans chapter 3, beginning at 21 through 26. But now the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. For even the righteousness of God, true faith in Jesus Christ, to all and on all who believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Being justified freely, his grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God sent as a propitiation by his blood, through faith, to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance, God had passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus Christ. He is the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. It's not faith in law, but faith in Jesus. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's why back in our text in Galatians, he said that, you know, you become estranged from Christ. It's not a breaking of the covenant. You still belong to him, but he's not benefiting anymore. You're looking at the thing to be justified. That's what he said here. He says, you have been estranged from Christ. You attempt to be justified by law. You have fallen from grace. You have fallen from grace. And in Romans chapter 3, verse 20, it says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of the glory. Every single one of us have. There's not been one person on the face of this earth ever, besides Jesus, that fulfilled the law. Jesus is the one that fulfilled the law. That's why he was able to say, because whatever he said was true, And he was able to say this. He says, I did not come to do away with the law. I came to fulfill it. So if those of you who want to follow the law, follow Jesus. Because Jesus already fulfilled the law for you. You don't have to try. All you need to do is have that relationship with him. Not be estranged from him. Come to him, all you who are heavy laden, and he will give you rest. And that rest is only found in that place of our relationship with him and the covenant that we have that he for us on the cross at Calvary for 2,000 years ago. Verse 5, for we through the Spirit eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. Hallelujah. You know what faith is? Faith is the substance of the thing we hope for. It's the evidence which we do not see. And we are to wait for that hope of righteousness by faith. You see, I've received Jesus Christ as my Lord. I hope everybody that's watching has as well. But if you haven't received Christ as Lord yet, then please listen. Because it says here that through the Spirit, an eager wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. You see, I have that hope. I've received Jesus Christ as my Lord. Am I perfect? No. I still sin from time to time. It's you know, that old nature that is yet to completely die in my life, it still hangs on. But I have this hope, you see, because Jesus forgives me of my sins. He cleanses me from all unrighteousness. When I received him as my Lord and Savior, the Spirit of God in me at that moment, that hope of righteousness by faith was birthed in my heart. And ever since I've had that hope that I am saved, that when I breathe my last, I'm going to come into the glory of the Lord. I'm going to come into his presence, and I worship him for the rest of eternity. That is a hope that I have. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. Verse 6, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. See, that word avails actually means have value. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. Anything but faith working in love. It doesn't avail you at all. In Ephesians chapter 2, let's just turn over a page or two. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 8. And I've already quoted one of these verses a couple times already this morning. But in Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4, says, but God, and I always love when God puts in a but God in the scriptures, because that means wake up, pay attention, God's going to really nail something down. But God is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ, by grace you have been saved. Hallelujah for that. And raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. In the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I can't work my way into heaven. I can't tell God, look, God, I've kept this in the law, because he's just going to look at it and say, yeah, Matthew, I'm glad you did, but let me look at other parts of this and this that you violated, that you failed in, that you sinned in. It says here, by grace I have been saved. You know, but God is rich in his mercy. He's so rich in his mercy because of his great love with which he loved us. And when we were dead in trespasses, that's what does. It kills me. I'm dead in my trespasses. But it is because of the work of the cross, and because of the forgiveness that God gives me, I now say he made me alive. And if you're a believer, if you receive Jesus Christ as Lord, are alive together with Christ. By grace, you and I have been saved. And he's raised us up. You know, you're dead, you're flat down, but he's raised us up. That's the resurrection, a resurrected life. My life before Christ it was horrible. It was bad. It was so filled with sin and death, disease, all that stuff. But God gave me life that more abundantly. For by grace I've been saved through faith, that not of myself, it is the God, not of yourself, but it is the gift of God. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I'm really glad that Jesus Christ saved me. All right, now let's go on. Verse 7, you ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? Persuasion does not come from him who calls you. Little leaven leavens the whole lump. You ran well. When you first got saved, Paul is saying to Galatian believers, he said, when you got saved, you ran well. You were pursuing Christ Jesus. You were pursuing your salvation. You were working out your own salvation with fear and trembling, even as Paul said in Philippians chapter 2. You were working out your own salvation. You were pursuing him. Then he says, what hindered you from obeying the truth? What hindered you? The word hindered there means to hold back. Who held you back from pursuing Christ? Who is it that is bringing this doctrine into you and trying to cause you to look at both the law and at grace? It hinders you from obeying the truth. This persuasion does not come from him who calls. A little leavens the whole lump. This is why it's important to know the Word of God. We know the Word because it is the Word of God that is sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder your soul and your spirit, and joints of marrow, and a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. If you look at me in Acts chapter 15, in Acts chapter 15, this is where this whole question of the law or grace, circumcision or not, was a conflict. And in verse 15, verse 1, it says, and certain men came down from Judea and taught the brethren, unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, not be saved. That's what they were saying. Unless you are circumcised by the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. For when Paul and Barnabas had no small dissent and dispute with them, they determined Paul and Barnabas and certain others of them should go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and about this question. So being sent on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, described the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy to all brethren. And when they had come to Jerusalem, they received by the church the apostles and the elders, and they reported all things that God had done for them. But some of the Pharisees who believed rose up saying, it is necessary to circumcise them and them to keep the law of Moses. You see, you have to look out for those who add to the gospel. And that's what they were saying here. They were believers, they were Pharisees, but they were still wrapped up in their traditions. Wrapped up in the law being law of the spiritual land, so to speak. Not recognizing the grace that Jesus brought. Now, verse 6, now the apostles and elders came together to consider this matter. And when there had been much, Peter rose up and said to them, men and brethren, you know that a good while ago God chose among us that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. So God, who knows the heart, acknowledged them by giving them the Holy Spirit just as he did us and made no distinction between us and them, purifying their hearts in faith. Purifying their hearts in faith, not purifying their hearts by the law, but purifying their hearts through faith. Peter was saying here, the Holy Spirit was given to them. They're uncircumcised. They're, according to law, unclean. They're not a Jew. But the Holy Spirit was given to them as he was given to us. And that, as far as Peter's concerned, showed them that it was no distinction in the eyes of God. Therefore, there shouldn't be any distinction between our eyes with the Gentiles. So let's go back to Galatians. And that's what Paul was saying here. He says in verse 6, he says, for in Christ is neither circumcision nor uncircumcision tells anything but faith working in love. I ask this morning, do you have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you truly placing your faith in him, or is your faith in him and something else? See, he doesn't want something else. He wants our faith fully lugged into him. All right, let's move on. I have confidence in you, verse 10, I have confidence in you in the Lord, that you will have no other mind, but he who troubles you shall bear judgment, whoever he is. I have confidence in you that you're coming back to the Lord, you're coming back to that covenant of grace, you're coming back to that understanding that it is only by the blood of Jesus that you're forgiven and that your sins are wiped clean. And in verse 11, he says, I, brethren, if I preach circumcision, why do I still suffer persecution? Then the offense of the cross has ceased. What is he saying here? He's saying here that if he wasn't preaching the gospel as Jesus had given it to him, he wouldn't be persecuted. See, persecution comes from those who are willing to preach the truth. And that's what you, we don't need to do it right now, but if you look at Acts chapter 13, 49 and 50, you can see where he was persecuted. If you go to Acts chapter 16, that's where he was persecuted there. He was preaching the gospel. He healed this girl, Lydia. And they end up beating him with rods and threw him in prison, and him and Silas, and locked him up in stocks. And what did they do? They laid back and just, they worshiped the God. They worshiped him in, and it said even all the prisoners listened to them. I can imagine the prisoners going, man, these guys are nuts. They're in here, and they're worshiping their God. In here because of him, they're worshiping God. What's the matter with that church? What's the matter with them? Well, what's the matter with them? They didn't look at the circumstance. They looked at the Lord that they're serving. Paul said that if I, he says, if I preach circumcision, why do I still suffer persecution? You see, it was that preaching of Jesus, his power came from. You didn't see anybody from the that preached circumcision, lived by the law, performing miracles like Jesus did. Where those miracles come from is the power of God that came down to us in grace. And in mercy. Hallelujah. Verse 11, and I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why do I still suffer persecution? Then the offense of the cross has ceased. Then Paul said this, and this is really, really powerful. He said this in verse 12, I could wish that those who told you would even cut themselves off. He was saying to them that they want you to circumcised, they are dragging you away from the grace of God. They're trying to say that this is the way. I just wish they'd cut themselves off. Now, you can figure out what he's saying by that. I don't think I have to elaborate anymore, but this how strong Paul was speaking towards the whole issue between the law and grace, between keeping the law and that walking that covenant of freedom with Jesus. Verse 13, for you, brethren, have been called to liberty, only do not use liberty as an opportunity of the flesh, but through love, love one another. For all the law fulfilled in one word, even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But you love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite, devour one another, beware you be consumed by one another. Are you hearing that? What Paul is saying here is that this whole tension that is happening in the Galatian church between the law and grace, between Key Testament way and the New Testament freedom. That tension is going to cause you to bite and devour one another. And beware lest you end up consuming one another. Don't go by your opinion. Go by what God says in his word. That's what's most important. By grace you have been saved, not of works, lest any man should boast. I can only boast, Paul said, boast in the Lord. He didn't boast in himself. He didn't boast in keeping the law. He didn't boast in any of that. He didn't in the Lord. And he lifted Jesus up. And God says in his word, wherever he is lifted up, he will draw all men to himself. So I finish this message this morning out to ask you, if you're watching online, you're not saved, I'm going to ask you, have you received Jesus Christ as your Lord? Because if you haven't, you're in that covenant of bondage, that law, that part that made people think they could be good enough for God. Maybe, if I was to ask you a question, if you were to receive Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, if you were to die today, would you go to heaven? And if you haven't received Jesus Christ as Lord, the answer is no, you wouldn't. You'd end up in hell. As long as we're alive, we have the power to determine our eternal future. Your eternal future, you decide. Jesus himself paid the price for sins. When he hung on it, it's finished. It's done. It's over. I've paid the price. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. And he died. And 3 days later, he was raised from the dead to prove the point that he is God, that he even has the power over death. And he wants to give you that power. He wants to give you that understanding. He wants to give you that change of address, so to speak. You see, if you haven't received Jesus Christ as Lord, your eternal address is in. When you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that address is now changed. It's like when if I was to move and I have to go down to the post office and have to change address form. And that change of address form, I give to the postmaster, and from that point on, all of my mail is mailed to that address. Because my address has changed. And I'm the one that makes the determinations that changes. I'm the one that makes the determination. I say where I'm going to live or I'm going to move. It's my choice. And see, that's the choice that God gives you. Are you going to stay in that place without Jesus? Or are you going to change your direction and change your address for all eternity. Jesus said, come to me, all you who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's up to you. Don't try to be justified by, might try to be justified by just living a good life. Don't get me wrong, we need to live a good life. But good life is not going to get you to heaven. It's the blood of Jesus. So I'm going to close and pray, and I'm going to ask you to pray along with me. If you have not prayed this prayer, then please, and you pray it, then please call me and let me know. My phone number is 603-355-7014. That's 603-355-0014. And call me and let me know if you prayed to receive Christ as Lord. I want to get your address. I want to send you a Bible. Let's pray. Father, Lord Jesus, I open my heart, ask you to come in. I confess to you that I am a sinner, that I have sinned and fallen short of your glory. I need a Savior. I cannot save myself. So Jesus, I open my heart. Your word says that if you stand at the door of my heart and you knock, if I open my heart, you will come in and you set up shop in my house, in my heart. You will cleanse me. So Lord, I ask you, cleanse me. Right now, write my name in the Lamb Book of Life. And I thank you, Lord. I am now saved. Fill me with your Spirit. Show me in your word that you love me. In Jesus' name. Amen. And Lord, I pray for everybody else, Lord. I thank you for the time that we've been online, that we've been able to share the word. And I hope and pray, Lord, that this message was a message that was pertinent today in everyone's life. I believe, Lord, that there's something in this mess for everyone. And I praise you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. God bless you. And hopefully next Sunday, we will be having a storm so that we can all meet here and enjoy each other's company and together worship the Lord. Bless you. And I'll see you later.